Commentator Gail Pemberton remembers growing up in a house filled with African-American magazines and newspapers, from Crisis, the official publication of the NAACP, to one called Silhouette, Hollywood Pictorial. Gail was thinking about the place of black magazines in our culture recently after devouring some copies of Essence, Ebony, American Visions, and Jet.
A few weeks ago, I took a train, my preferred mode of travel, from New York to Chicago. I love trains for many reasons, but most of all for the time they allow for reading and thinking. On this particular trip, I loaded myself up with a stash of black magazines that I'd been saving for months. Finally, there was time to read them. I suspect that black magazines were among some of the first things I did read. They were always a fixture in my family's home. Some of these magazines are no longer published, but I remembered poring over their pages, looking at photographs, and reading articles on the living conditions, health, employment, and education of black Americans. I consider them vital to my education. In 1955, I was not old enough to understand the meaning of lynching, but the photograph of the mutilated body of 14-year-old Emmett Till on the cover of Jet provided a quick lesson I will never, ever forget. I will also remember the feelings of pride I had in seeing the full complement of black major leaguers on the pages of Ebony every year. I remembered that little girl pride while reading an August issue of American Visions, which featured an article on the Black Baseball Museum in Kansas City, Missouri. Seeing a 1945 photograph of the legendary Kansas City Monarchs, including Satchel Paige and a baby-faced Jackie Robinson grinning at the camera, sent me into a reverie. I thought about everything from my baseball-loving grandfather and father and the trials and tribulations of black athletes then to the meaning of the game today and our national yearning to find heroes like there were in those long-gone days. I've had my fights with some black magazines, too, wanting them to provide more critical articles on issues of national and foreign policy, sexism and homophobia, as well as those issues thought to be exclusive to black Americans. This summer, Ebony published a special issue on the new black family with a photograph of a conservatively dressed black middle-class nuclear family, man, woman, boy, and girl. What is new is not clear since the types of black families in the magazine have been around for years, but the existence of this issue takes on new and significant meaning when it sits next to a recent Newsweek with a cover story called A World Without Fathers. And it's not so new notions either of black families. Reading both magazines provides a kind of counterpoint and a fuller portrait of black families than either alone offers. The world of flesh and blood people behind the otherwise cold statistics of black life still needs black magazines to find expression. I may not be particularly interested in the story of the black steelworker who won millions in Lotto after playing weekly for 10 years, or in the pictures of newlyweds from L.A. to D.C. in the required cake-cutting ritual photograph. But there are other stories I do need. On black women and health in Essence, on black sculptors and painters in American Visions, and on the impact of racism on the economy in black enterprise. If nothing else, black magazines reveal just how much the social worlds of black and white, with few exceptions, remain as separate as the fingers of their hand. I suspect that very few white Americans have ever read a black magazine to see a different picture than that presented in national magazines or on TV. This is particularly sad given the overwhelming influence of black American music, language, and style on what we call our popular culture and what the rest of the world calls American. The current cover story of Emerge is about the desegregation of traditional black colleges. Reading it reminded me of special Negro education issues of magazines my parents would save, along with copies of Life, Look, and the Saturday Evening Post from the 30s and 40s. I'm not sure how my parents or I would chart the progress of black Americans since then. Certainly many things have changed. Some are for the better, but others are appalling because they've not changed, and others have become worse. Black magazines are a critical gauge of this success, failure, and much, much more.
Gail Pemberton is the author of The Hottest Water in Chicago, Notes of a Native Daughter.